by, where the hell is he?
Near.
We called and he was turning on Kasota. What is he driving, an ox cart?
He's running.
Yeah, how long does it take to get here? You know, it's good to know that he could make a deadline. Oh, no, wait, he can't. It's 2:40. See, it's not like,
well, you have a doctor's appointment at 2:45.
Doctors never get to you on time. You know, I've sat in my doctor's office for hours because he's very busy. He's a good doctor. You know, but it's different when it's a radio show and you're supposed to be here at 2:45. He better come out of here out of breath, panting and sweating because he sprinted from the parking lot. He tied his ox cart and then came sprinting in.
It's probably stuck behind one of the many semis out there.
There are a lot of semis around
screaming.
Here.
Screaming.
Yeah. Have you ever, I noticed this more in the morning when you could actually smell the diesel when some of the trucks would idle. It was more a few years ago. It was horrible. I think they did something to ventilation. And there also the times you could smell coffee outside. It must be like a coffee manufacturer nearby where everybody was brewing at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, because it's morning and they're all, bro, those kids are getting their morning cup of coffee.
All those kids.
Those kids over at the U. And,
is that now, the sound coffee makes?
Yes. Biking is sort of a sport, right?
Yeah.
Well, I hate bikers.
Tour de France?
No, I'm talking about these kids biking at the U. They have their little bike lane. Well, so many of them are riding the line or on the wrong side of it. Move over. And they don't. I don't have any problem with bikers who obey the rules of the road. A stop sign and a red light means everybody stops, including people on bikes. They don't have any respect. Not all of them, but I'd say many of them around the U have no respect for a red light or a stop sign.
Yeah. I actually saw two bikers going, and one was stopping at a stop sign. The other one was going to keep going. It was in Uptown. They were about to cross 28th Street, which was a one-way.
I'm very familiar with 28th. I live right off of it.
And he looked at his buddy and said, why are you stopping? We're bikers. We have the right of way.
He said that?
Yeah. It's like, dude, you're going to get your buddy killed.
Oh, yeah. He's probably not with us anymore.
You
How long ago was
just
that?
Cross. This was about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Oh, he's gone. He's long gone. What a dope.
Yeah. Not a very smart move.
No. No, and I I'm about as fond of people that bike like that as I am the Tour de France. I never quite understood that thing, why it's so popular. See a bunch of guys. You sit on you're on the sideline watching. Now, who cares about the guy that's in 150th place? When the first few go by, that's
his parents, maybe.
Well, okay, that would be it. But that's all you really care about is the guys in the lead. Who cares about some other guy huffing and puffing his way through the course, going through the Alps and the mountains? Who the heck is that? Is that him again?
Probably.
Find out. But just hit the button. How many people are going to call in on that number?
I don't know.
Just hit the button. We could deal with it.
You can't.
Why? Because he's not on hold?
I hit one button.
It doesn't work now?
He's got it. I can't do anything. My hands are tied right now.
All right, now, it's there. Hello, is this Tom Schreier?
Hey, I'm late for my doctor's appointment. I think that's where I'm going.
You okay? No, he doesn't get that because that's not really funny. Where are you?
I'm in the parking lot. Everywhere, all the radio spots are taken. I was behind like three semi-trucks.
Okay, wait, time out here.
Everyone's going 90.
Okay.
I'm coming around back.
Are you still in your car? Get out of the car, double park it, and get in here.
Nah, someone's going to tow my car. Take it.
Well, then sometimes you go, you know what? Then you go to the impound lot and you get it out. You being late, it's not, hey, you should have heard what Helmsy was saying. He was a true hell boy. Where the hell is he? I'm not going to tolerate this anymore.
This
He's had
this
it with
might
you.
Be where, when I called in, Helmer, like what are you saying about me?
We've all had it. We're fed up. All right, get in here. We'll see you in a minute.
All right, bye.
All right. Kids today, they just have no responsibility. Not a care in the world. What are you? Do you qualify as a millennial? That's what he is, right?
Yep.
So what's the age thing for a millennial?
I don't know.
Because I guess I'm still in the baby boomer thing.
Yeah, I was born in 84. That's all
That's not millennial.
I don't know what era that
You're
is.
You're a Gen Xer.
Sure.
I think. You should look that up. I don't know.
I'm a free agent.
Yeah, okay. You don't know which one you're gonna wind up with or go with. That it's that sort of deal. Now, I mentioned that AP is still in the news. A lot of people have been taking shots at him around there because he just overspoke and said more than he ever should have.
Yep.
Last week was a little Twitter thing. He's been pretty quiet, though, since then, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I got a feeling that maybe he was told, EP, let's not use our Twitter account.
Probably not a good idea.
Let's just stay away from that, because it's only going to get you in trouble. It could be a little bit of a problem, because occasionally, you need to shut up. You just need to be quiet. By the way, did you mention it in your sports updates about Fred Hoiberg?
No, I haven't mentioned that, but near.
Near what?
Him signing with Chicago.
Oh, it's already a done deal, I thought. He's going to Chicago to finalize the deal.
Yeah, he's finishing it now.
Yeah. So Freddie, the mayor, a lot of people thought he would just stick in Iowa. See, he's only 42, though. If he fails in Chicago, he can come back when he's 45.
Yeah.
They'll take him back, because the other guy replaced him probably failed. They get rid of him, bring him back.
It'd still be a pretty good college coach, even if it doesn't work out for him in the NBA, which it's going to be interesting. Some people are a little upset that he wouldn't take the Minnesota job, and now he's heading to the NBA going to Chicago, but you got Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah there. You're probably going to lose Jimmy Butler to free agency this year.
You know what, though? But if Derrick Rose stays healthy.
Healthy. Nikola Mirotic as well. They have a pretty solidly built team, even if they lose Jimmy Butler.
You know what? One reason why, and I think he gets along very well with Flip. Would you really want to come in here and work? You know, because Flip is so hands-on. Oh, look who's here.
Oh, it's time for a break.
Yeah, it's time for a break. He missed his entire segment.
I apologize. I cannot have seen
really
most of my trucks.
I just looked at the thing. You know what? We're going to have to... I'm going to add you. You know what? You're going to have a segment all your own after we talk to Mike Gelfand. It's called D-Bag of the Day. So you get a segment to yourself. Now, don't interrupt Gelfand and step on all his good one-liners.
No. I'll let him do his
segment
thing.
Here. All right. But we are going to talk to Tom. Tom Schreier, he's... You know what? If you ever need a guy that can... It's sort of like, you would have been a horrible Domino's pizza delivery guy when they guaranteed 30-minute delivery. And, hey, let me send this... I'm going to send this package overnight.
Oh, no.
Let's see, it's Monday.
Oh, no.
It'll arrive on Friday. If
yeah,
you were
that
delivering
was bad.
It.
That was bad, yeah.
So didn't you allow to maybe leave a minute or two early?
Yeah, I might leave a little bit earlier next time. I just saw a ton of semis and then turn around and left there. People are going like 90 past the old Midway Stadium. I don't know what they're doing.
Helmsy and I, let's give him his own segment. We'll talk to him about the Twins. You know, he's a bright young guy, blah, blah, blah.
This is
see
bad.
See what we can do.
Yeah, see what we can do. We got some stuff for you, too. I'm not even going to play your cackling music or sound.
Yeah, I told him my soul's here. I mean, my soul's always here, always with you. In that computer right there.
Yeah, okay. You know what? The only soul I care about is the soul on your shoe that you should have been wearing off sprinting in here. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to go to a man who will be there when he's supposed to, Mike Gelfand. We'll talk Twins with him. We got a lot of Mike is a lot of fun to talk to. If you heard it on Friday, he knocked a few out of the park. I'd say he definitely didn't go for the circuit because they were all home runs. So he just hit home runs. So we'll talk to Mike Gelfand when we return. You know what's interesting about Olasco? He had to leave early, but he actually showed up on the mound on time.
Oh, no.
When he was supposed to be there. You know, I worked with our guest for about 25 years. He was never late.
I'm no Mike Gelfand, I tell you that.
You're certainly not. And you're banned from talking during this segment just for that.
I'm done.
You can stick around for the next one. We are joined by Mike Gelfand. And Mike, I just kids today.
You know, what can you do? I actually, as you know, I increasingly battled a sleep disorder over the years, and it got to the point where sometimes I'd been up for like 30 hours before the show started.
Oh, my.
So it was a little tough. And one day I made the mistake that I could make every few years. I set my alarm. I just happened to actually fall asleep for a little while, which I usually didn't even do before the show. So
yeah.
I'd set my alarm for like, 5:45.
Yeah.
But I set it for 5:45 p.m.
Ooh, we've all done that.
So I actually woke up like 10 hours after the show, after I was supposed to be there.
You felt very refreshed, too, thinking, hey, they feel pretty good.
I thought, man, this is the life, you know? I can finally go in and be refreshed. I'm gonna have the best show ever today.
Then you showed up and Ray was on.
Yeah, it was a little bit jarring for me. I called the boss, and And like he answered the phone, he said, "What the hell do you want?" You know, he was pissed off. I thought he'd be happy for me.
You finally got some sleep.
Yeah.
Mike, what did you? Because I was talking earlier about this. We went to a horse show, and starting with the clock started Friday morning at 6, I went 42 hours without sleep. I know you've gone longer than that with your sleep disorder.
I 60 hours was my record, and believe me, I wasn't trying. What you do is, you were talking about all the food you ate.
Yeah.
What you do is you top it off with about 500 milligrams of magnesium. And if you do that, you'll be kept awake by the sound of your own borborygmus. That's the word of the day. Borborygmus. It means stomach grumbling, basically.
Well, I had a lot of that going on, believe me. But it worked. It kept me going, kept me awake with that when I had my gut aching.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You pay for that one.
Yeah, but
I never had any trouble staying awake. It was falling asleep that was the problem.
I'll tell you what. You could hire yourself out, but you don't like driving at night. I was going to say as an overnight driver because you're awake.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have been great, but I stopped driving at night like when I was 30. Because when you're really nearsighted, you have terrible night blindness.
Yep.
And literally, I was about 35 when, if I went anywhere at night and I tried to figure out, you know, what street I was on, I had to park the car and walk up to the street sign
to take a look.
And I thought this might be an indication
that it's time.
It might be time. I didn't want to be one of those people like my dad, you know, who wound up suing the DMV to get his license back after, of course, I took it away. he vowed to go to his grave without forgiving me, and he succeeded in that.
Well, it's good to know that when your dad set his mind to something.
I probably told you this, but you know, my dad was pretty cranky, and I wanted to send him off with a smile. So as he was basically slipping away into unconsciousness, I told him Sid Hartman had died.
That made him happy.
He hated Sid Hartman. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan, but I mean, he just was fixated with Sid Hartman, and I think one of the reasons was my dad he just didn't want to die before Sid Hartman, because they both were working in their 80s, you know, at the Star Tribune. But my dad had to leave, and Sid didn't. So I think that really irked
my dad. It rankled
him,
yeah. Now, were they the same age or close to it?
They were almost the same age. I believe Sid was, my mom always told me that Sid was 2 years ahead of her at North High School. So I guess my dad would have been born in 1922, and I think Sid was probably born in 1920.
That's what it says. I made him show me his license once, and that's what it said. But there's stories that he's at least a year older, but who knows?
No, because, you know, my mom did say, always said he was 2 years
old. So that would make sense. So 20 is legitimate.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like if a basketball player is 5'11",
yeah,
you know, they're always going to say, "Geez, I saw him in the locker room and I towered above him. He was 5'7" tops." It's always that way.
Well, actually, we were talking about that with football last week at Captain Munderlin, who is, I think they list him at 5'11", just the number you gave.
Yeah.
And he could fit. He's a lot closer to 5'7" than 5'11".
It was the not so great Tommy Brookshire. Remember him?
Oh, absolutely.
He once, they were talking about a player once, and he said, "He's 5'10", soaking wet."
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, he kind of got mixed up.
Well,
there.
I think Brooksy had a little issue, too, with, you know, there's a few bottles that might have been involved.
Well, between that and, you know, he got hit in the head a few times, so
yeah,
you can understand it.
Former Eagle.
Hey, speaking of older people.
Yes.
I was visiting my mother-in-law at the nursing home over the weekend, and I really got a vivid impression of just what the Twins mean to the older community.
Well, good.
You know, they're all Twins fans.
Yeah.
So we were sitting in the in the big sort of living room type room by the door, and of course the Twins game was on, and people were really getting into it. And I tell you, it was bedlam when Torrey Hunter put the Twins ahead.
Yeah.
There was an old guy. He was probably, I think he was in, someone told me he was like 96. And of course he was in a chair, you know. He was in the wheelchair. He got so excited he accidentally stood up. And it was absolute panic. No one knew what to do. I was calm. I picked up my phone and I called 119. I'm proud of that one.
That's good. It's Tom Schreier. Tom put the microphone away from him on probation today for showing up late, so he's afraid to say anything.
You're really kind of hard on the kids.
I know, but you know what? That's the only way these kids learn. You can give them a little cackle there, Tom. Go ahead.
I don't know if I can do it right now. Look at somebody. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know how that happened.
Now, Mike, we've got some huge events coming up. The Triple Crown, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup, Stanley Cup Finals.
I got to tell you something. There is nothing more horrifying than a big sporting event, because it's not about the sport, it's about the event. The Belmont's a good example. Now this year the Belmont is limiting the crowd because in the past it's been so crazy, and of course they're expecting this year to be the craziest of all, because every year we go without a Triple Crown winner, the frenzy increases. And since there have been, I believe, is it 12? Is that right? 12 since 1978 that won the first two and not the third.
I think it might even be more than that. It might be 13.
There's 13, but one of them was Big Brown, who didn't actually even take part.
Because he got hurt, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So some people think it's a marketing ploy, but I can tell you it isn't. And of course at Belmont, they've had a little problem with the toilets there. So a lot of people have been peeing in the stairwells. So, it's a big event, right?
Yeah.
It's a big event. And the thing is, you can't see a horse race from the grandstand. All these people are clamoring, and they're not even going to see anything. What you see is this mass of nostril-flaring beasts who all look alike, and then there's the pack of little men who all look alike, and they're flailing away at the beasts. You don't know anything. You don't know who's ahead, but you don't care, and you can't bet anyway, because it's about an hour and a half line to bet. About the same amount of time it takes to bet as it takes to pee.
That's if you don't use the stairwell, you mean.
Yeah. Right. And of course, there's nothing worse than being in a huge crowd and wanting to urinate. You're better off just inserting a catheter. And because if you even get into the men's room, you've got what I call the CPP, which is the cumulative puddling phenomenon. There's a huge puddle, and of course, every time the puddle gets bigger, the next guy to pee stands farther away from the urinal, so he puddles more, and pretty soon, it's just flooded.
Now, do you recommend at events like this that people not wear anything with long shoelaces?
Well, my God. Do you know, this is a true story. I fell really hard for this woman. God, it was a long time ago. But she was like really the only woman I've ever known who really understood me, And she looked down at my shoelaces and she said to me, this is a true story, she said, I see you cut the tips off your shoelaces so they don't drag in the urine in the men's room. And my whole body just changed chemically. I fell in love with this woman. And to this day, it's just, I've never gotten over her.
She knew, you're right, she had you, she knew
she
it.
She did. But the thing is, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, a big event is never pretty, and it doesn't matter whether it's the World Series, the State Fair, the Belmont, the Tiananmen Square. It just doesn't matter.
Tiananmen Square.
You don't want to be there. And I'll tell you another. This is a true story, and it's not a funny story. It's kind of sad.
We'll get somber.
Yeah, it is. And it was 1964, it was a bad year for me. Bad year for my family. My OCD was kind of bad that year, even worse than it is now. And my brother happened to be hooked on heroin. I don't want to bring anyone down, but he was. And so my dad decided he was going to make everyone happy by taking us to the Indy 500. Now, there were 300,000 people at the Indy 500 that year. And like 10 minutes into the race, two of the racers were already dead. It's a horrible story, but it's true. My migraine spiraled. I think I vomited at about the 200-mile marker. and that was when I learned, you don't want to go to these things. You know, look at the Mayweather-Pacquiao. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody even throws a punch, basically. There's more action at the BET Awards. And you know, and the point I'm making is, like, at these big events, really, it was a Della Mitri song. Nothing ever happened.
Tom and I both like that. We just sort of slipped it right in there.
I provide my own sound effect.
Well, you know what? He should be a sound effect.
I am.
A laugh track. Yeah, no, we got more of it coming when we come back here.
Well, by the way, I also got punched at the World Series.
By whom?
Well, just some guy who was, fortunately, was drunk. It was in Pittsburgh. And there was a rain delay, so I was waiting in line to buy a hot dog, and he was kind of stepping on me. I told him he could go ahead of me, and then he tried to punch me, but I did the old rope-a-dope on him, you know, because he was pretty far gone. But it's true. I've been vomited on at the state fair. it's true. I mean, it's horrible.
That explains why you didn't like the fair. Now, was this the We Are Family Pirates, the 79 Pirates?
It was. It actually was, yep.
Because that was about you. That was your wheelhouse of writing, right? You were still doing it then.
Yeah. No, that was one of the. I think I only covered like three World Series, but that was one of them, and it was. It was quite a clubhouse there.
Who vomited on you at the state fair? He just happened to be walking
by. Actually,
it
was someone on the twister, so it was a projectile thing, and I was standing about 100 feet below. I mean, can you imagine how horrible
it was? You're wondering if it's a bird. Oh, no, you'd hope it's a bird after realizing what the chunk was.
Yeah, no, I just grabbed the kids, you know, and fed home and, like, showered for about an hour and a half.
Mike, that's great stuff as usual. Mike Gelfand, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, well, on Friday, we got to talk a little more about the Belmont.
Yeah, you know, I keep saying I'm going to talk about the Belmont. I'm going to talk about this scumbag who owns American Pharoah. So we'll finally get to it on Friday. I'll handicap the event.
Great.
So that'll be fun. I'll look forward to it.
Oh, we are looking forward to it. Thanks, Mike. We always look forward to when you're with us on Monday and Friday. And even the cackler's in a better mood. I was down. He was really upset with himself. He was like beating himself up over being late, and I think he should have.
Well, you know, I'm glad to be able to talk about these dystopian events because I think I've finally come to terms with a lot of them.
Have you ever been to the BET Awards, by the way?
No, that's like, you know, that's on my bucket list.
Oh, my God.
But it's far down there.
All right, Mike, thanks so much. Mike Gelfand, we'll talk to you Friday. Thanks, Mike.
Sure, thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come right back with, our D-bag of the day is in studio today, Tom Schreier from 105 The Ticket. Now, we're giving him a little crap for being a little late, but Mike, he saved you.
He did. I'm thankful.
He's.
There's a funny story, actually. Send the clock wrong and wakes up. And no, it's like, oh, no, he's a little
great,
late.
Mike has great stories.
Yeah.
So we love having him on with us. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, little D-bag of the day, you're not the only one on the list. We have plenty of others. We'll tell you about it when we come back. You know, this is not a D-bag of the day candidate. Tom Schreier with us, by the way. He is a D-bag of the day candidate. But we were just looking at the photos of Caitlyn, formerly Bruce Jenner. You said it's had to be a lot of airbrushing. I mean, he's got the boobs, the long hair, these photos, very seductive photos. My question is...
I might have to move over here.
We're talking about, you know, he had been the decathlon champion. Can he now or she now do the women's heptathlon? Maybe that's what it's all about, to regain some more Olympic glory.
It's not a bad idea.
Because, I mean, she's in great shape.
This came up, though, a few years ago, right, with, like, the shot putter who was transgender, and I feel like... I think it was he couldn't compete because of that. Once you're transgender, I don't know if you can compete.
Oh, you know what? You get a good attorney, you could get an injunction. They could make it happen.
They will change it, I'm sure, because this came up, too, with, like, high school sports, and I think this is actually a bigger issue, is that, you know, you can feel excluded if you're a transgender person. Obviously, you don't want to pick on that, you know, those people, obviously, that demographic. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know if you remember this, they ran like an attack ad, I think it was in like the Star Tribune, basically being like, do you want your kids, you know, transgender kids in the locker room and stuff like that? It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, people get a little whipped up, but this, Caitlyn, formerly Bruce Jenner, is on the cover of Vanity Fair with the caption, Call Me Caitlyn. She's in kind of a I don't know what it is, like ladies' undergarments. He's definitely got, you know, he's buxom. I think she had some work done. And she's really kind of very thin and, you know, looks bony.
How old is Caitlyn or Bruce Jenner? Do we know?
60s?
65.
You know, when you stop and actually, she looks pretty good for 65. I would never guess that. It looks to me like she's mid-40s.
Yeah, I suppose former athlete, right? Big-time athlete.
Well, and you
made
definitely...
A decent penny.
Yeah.
Able to...
reality TV.
And there has been, as you noted, an airbrush or two at work here.
Yeah.
There's not too much doubt about that. But take away... And what did you say on the Twitter? Opened the Twitter account this morning, Caitlin?
Opened it 4 hours ago to post the picture and a small statement
about it. Wait a minute. 4 hours ago is when it opened?
Yeah.
All right, tell me how many followers do you have?
Do I have? Oh, I have 880.
And when did you open it?
Years ago, probably four years ago. Yeah.
Well, I'm still
up by another 11,000 since the last time I gave you the number.
Okay, give me the number after 4 hours.
It's at 996,000.
Well, how did word spread that quick that it was
the ticket? We talked about it here.
170,000 retweets and 210,000 favorites. That kind of helps you out a little bit.
Well, what is it?
The Twitter world.
What does she go? Does it just go by Caitlyn Jenner?
Yup. Well, at Caitlyn _ Jenner. Do we really need to help her out? She's got plenty.
Well, I'm going to join. I'm going to follow. See what's going on.
There's a capital C and a capital J in there. Hope you can figure out which ones they are.
I don't think you need capitals on Twitter, right? That doesn't matter.
But hey, what do you mean?
They'll still find it, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, because, I mean, you were named, you didn't change your name from Tom, right?
No. Yeah,
and you always were Helmsy, right? Hellboy? That was your given name?
Right from underneath the earth.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we all probably have the names we were given. How do you go from Bruce to Caitlin? I mean, how much thought, what were the names that, I don't like that one. I'm not big about Josephine, no, or, you know.
I mean, it's a big process. I'm sure you had time to think about
Catherine,
it.
Catherine,
yeah.
Or, you know.
Didn't want to go with a collaboration
Claudette.
With his original name, like Brucifer, because that sounds like Lucifer.
Or
Brucette.
Hellboy would say that.
Yeah, Brucette wouldn't work. I'll tell you what, though, at first glance, I didn't realize that, well, A, that it was him, or B, that it wasn't a woman. The buxomness throws you off a bit. All right, let's go to some candidates here. One of them, you're laughing at.
It was a really strong transition.
Oh, now you're critiquing my transition?
I apologize.
Well, you really are. One yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you could get on any more on my poop list than you are already. You know, before we do that, do you have, we took a poll, and we came up with what we thought were the top several cartoon cackles of all time.
Oh, that's
and you
tough.
Are, I think you, did he make the list?
Well, it's right there.
I'm not say he's the top of the list. What
that's a good one.
Got?
Well, let's see here. This one was actually tough to find a good stretch of them, but see if you know who this is.
Is that mine that's just, like, modified?
No.
No, and I've heard that, but I'm drawing a blank on it.
That's a Seth Rogen laugh.
Oh, ooh, that's really? Seth Rogen. Right, when you say it, it's absolute.
You should know this one.
Horseshack. No?
Eddie Murphy?
I thought we were talking about cartoons.
Well, he said cartoons. I don't know why.
Gotcha.
Well, I was wrong. I misspoke. You threw my whole game off. Was that him or you?
What? It's like a donkey, dude.
Is it a donkey?
She may have been called that at some point in her life.
Ooh, wow. Fran Drescher. Yeah. Fran Drescher.
Wow. That's scary.
That's Tom on the Sunday show he does. He has a different laugh for his Sunday.
It's got a lot more caffeine in him at that point.
The Tom Schreier and Friends show.
Yeah. Cole, or wake up call. You're messing me up here. Wake up call. Cole, wake up call. Me and Sam, except it's not. Sam's gone. Sam's getting married. So
maybe Sam's gone. He's right over there.
Well, I know he's there, but he's
filling in for Ben today.
He's not going to be on. I know he's getting some time in before. He's not going to be on our show. I think it's Zach Wright is going to fill in for him on
the Sunday?
Or is it you, Homer? I don't even know.
It's not me.
I think it's Zach Wright. You were mentoring him. You better do a good job. Isn't he your protege coming up here?
Protege.
I didn't know that.
Protege. I can't talk.
Prodigy.
You can't cackle.
I just laugh.
Prodigy.
I just laugh. Prodigy. But protege would be
my protege, but he's a prodigy.
Yeah, good call.
That's
I don't think he's my
cold
protege.
Omaha.
I don't know.
He's writing for Cold Omaha.
So,
now.
you are. It is going to be Tom Schreier on Friends on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're gonna. How many hours are you gonna talk nonstop?
I think two. I think two is all.
What time does the show start?
8 o'clock.
What time are you getting there?
Probably. You know. Yeah, that's rough. No, I'm going to be there 7:30. I'm going to be there 30 minutes early. No, I'm not.
Yeah, I know. We know. Believe me, we know your history. We know you won't. Anyway, Floyd Mayweather, the woman he's been battling with now, she's, you know, ex-fiance, he had sent her basically he texted his marriage proposal to her. And he said, this is what I offer to you. Let's get married, move in together. You can go back and forth to L.A. and stay at the condo. I promise I will get you in 3 A-list movies this year. And I'm willing to go to counseling and make us work. And you can get the stuff you want. And I'm willing to change. But I need you to have a better attitude.
This is not good. This is not a good marriage proposal. No, hey, I can get you in some movies. And by the way, don't sue me.
Well, Chantel Jackson is the woman. And she also talked about, Floyd threatened that if I didn't take down there's a photo of her and Nelly that she put on Instagram. If I didn't take down the photo of me and Nelly, he would post naked photos of me on social media.
That's awful.
Yeah.
He's just not a good person.
No, he's not.
And this is the person he hit her in front of their kids, right? This is the same one?
That might be a different one, because that involves a 13-year-old kid who called him a coward.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a different one. Yeah.
Wrote in.
Yeah, there's other ones here. And then there's another candidate here besides our guy.
I'm sitting right here.
The cat.
I haven't left.
Johnny Mansell. He's at,
oh, my God.
I think it might have been a Byron Nelson classic. He's there, right, with a bunch of buddies. When they're leaving, he gets into a fight with a verbal fight with a buddy, and he throws a water bottle at him and misses. And the guy that he threw it at goes, nice throw, Johnny. And then Johnny had to be held back because he wanted to go after him.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. An NFL quarterback who can't hit someone with a water bottle.
Yeah. And they couldn't have been very far apart either.
No.
Not like he was 40 yards down the fairway.
I thought he said he was like going to rehab and living in the suburbs and cleaning his act up. I have no idea.
There's no cleaning up. You know, speaking of cleaning, you need to clean your act up, young man.
I do. I need to.
Before Sunday.
Drive faster.
When you're hosting the...
That's one way to do it.
Double park.
The Tom Schreier and Friends show. Starts at 8, he'll be there at 8:45. We're going to come right back, be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, and Jim's sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. Be right back. We're back. Tom Schreier still with us paying penance. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. And Jim, you know, it's interesting. I didn't see the headline in your paper, but in the Pioneer Press, I have the score, Twins 6, Blue Jays 5. The big headline, June gloom, ? Everyone just is expecting there to be a fall after the great May that they had with the 20-win May.
Well, it would be unrealistic to expect them to keep winning at this rate. I mean, play to the last 6 weeks is unsustainable. Great teams don't play at that pace. But that doesn't mean they have to fall completely apart either. Some of the things they're doing, you can't expect them to keep hitting with runners in scoring position as well as they have.
Yeah.
You can't expect... I don't know whether you can expect the bullpen to hold up. The bullpen's got, Perkins was tired yesterday, and you can tell it. He admitted it afterward. Casey Thien's been injured. Boyer's been great, but I don't know if they can keep using him as often as they have. So there are some things that could turn the wrong way. What I find most interesting about this team, though, is that they're winning without a lot of the pieces that you thought would make them better this year. So, a month from now, they're going to get Santana back. They're probably about to call up Tommy Malone, get a look at him. They still have Barrios on his way. I still think that Buxton's going to end up playing up here sometime this year. I still think Kenneth Vargas could have a positive impact on this team this year. Danny Santana hasn't started playing yet, and I think he's a good player. So while there are a lot of things that are going right for them right now that might not be sustainable, there are also things that could add to this team as they go forward. And again, they're not going to play 700 baseball the rest of the way, but I don't know that they can't play 500 or slightly above 500 the rest of the way, which would keep them in the mix.
Well, if they play 500 baseball, that leaves them at 11 games above 500, right?
Exactly.
So that's not too shabby.
That would not be a bad thing. No. That would mean that, you know, I mean, you know, my hope for this team going into the season, and this is before the season, and frankly, I think I picked them to win like 82 or 83 games before Santana got suspended, then I bumped them back down to like 78 or something. You know, my hope for this team this year was that they would be interesting all year. And I think they've positioned themselves where that's going to happen. Now, whether they contend, whether they make it to the playoffs. You know, the other interesting factor here, Bob, is that we're used to judging Twins teams and wondering, okay, yeah, but what, this is a good, you know, like throughout the 2000s, okay, this is a good Twins team,
yeah,
but how are they going to do when they play a big team in the playoffs? There are no big teams. The East stinks. The Royals are good, but they're not scary. The Tigers are pretty good, but they're not scary. You know, the Astros are basically kind of another version of the Twins, but just their top prospects have already made it to the big leagues, and they're playing really well right now. The A's aren't what they used to be. The Angels aren't great. I mean, there are no great teams right now, and I think that part of that is the product of just being post-steroid baseball, where, you know, for a long time there, the rich teams bought up all the biggest steroid users and had stacked lineups and tons of home runs and tons of power pitchers. Now everybody's relying on farm systems, and the Twins have as good a farm system as anybody.
That's a great point. You're right, because Boston's not doing anything this year, and you know, nothing that is going to scare anyone.
No, Boston's not any good.
Yeah, they're seven games under 500. Yeah. They're scrambling.
Good. We've seen them in person. That is not a good team. And you have David Ortiz at the end of his career, where he doesn't scare anybody. They don't have much power. They're relying on their farm system, which is okay, but not great. You know, look around baseball. The teams that have had the best farm systems for the last 5 years are the teams that are winning. The Twins, Astros, the Cubs, and I'm forgetting somebody obvious. Oh, and the Royals. I mean, those have kind of been the best farm systems the last 5 years. Those are the teams that are winning now.
It's, when you look at the numbers, though, of what they've done, I mean, it is astounding. The May that they had, and the last time they had a 20-win month was in June of 91, and we all know how that turned out for them. Not to say that's going to happen again, but, I mean, these are numbers that are they just pop out at you.
Well, this has been a pleasant reminder that the game isn't just statistics. Statistics are always important, always have been, but it's a situational game. And, you know, hitting the cutoff, man. Having, you know, range in the outfield, making the right play at the right time can trump just raw statistics. So, you know, this team has been good because they've hit with runners in scoring position, because they've gotten two out RBI, because they've won close games, because their bullpen has made big pitches at the right moments, their fielders have made big plays at the right moment. I mean, this is not a statistically great team. There's really nothing above average about this team statistically other than the closer. Now, but they have won close games because of good situational baseball, which still matters.
Now, this Nolasco, doing an MRI on the ankle, is there an expectation that he's going to be gone for a bit?
My vote is amputate.
That would certainly solve part of the issue, one of the issues.
I'm sick of this guy. His ankle hurts. He's got to come out of the game after three outs. Give me a break. It's too bad they invested so much money in him, because if they hadn't, they could just cut him and be done with him. I'm glad he's hurt. I don't want to say I'm glad he's hurt. I don't want anybody to be hurt. But I'm not sad that he has to miss a start or two if that's what happens, because I'd rather take a look at Tommy Malone right now. I don't know that Malone's going to be great. He doesn't have great stuff, but I'd like to take a look at him. And, you know, this gives, if it works out this way, if Nolasco ends up on the disabled list, then they take a look at Malone for 2-3 weeks, and then they get ready for Santana to come up. And, you know, maybe Nolasco ends up continuing to be a fifth starter for this team, but he just doesn't show me anything. He shows me nothing.
Well, you know, and you made the reference to, you know, amputate. Could be another Monty Stratton. That's what happened to him, right? You ever see the Monty Stratton story with James Stewart?
God, you're old. You're even older than I am.
Well, I love that movie, though. He played, you know, he lost his leg in a hunting accident, and he came back and pitched.
Was that one of those talkie movies? Did they have
a It was a talkie. Now, you do know, of course, and who was in the first talkie? My favorite singer, Al Jolson.
Al Jolson.
The jazz singer.
I do know that. Well, I actually took some movie courses in college back. We had talkies too back then.
Did you now? Can you tell me there were two other later versions of the jazz singer? Who starred in those?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Danny Thomas was one. And the other one was, it was Neil Diamond. So you had Al Jolson, Danny Thomas, and Neil Diamond.
Well, I was going to go with my typical Trivial Pursuit answers to anything I didn't know, which is either Abraham Lincoln or Winston Churchill.
I could see one of those maybe doing it, too. I think Lincoln might have done an earlier version before Jolson did.
Let's go with that.
That could have been there's a very good chance that it did happen that way. Now, are you, obviously you're not going to be in Boston.
Do
you,
no.
You seem to have some much-needed time off coming. When are you going to take your time off?
Actually, later this month, I'm getting out of town for a couple of weeks.
June's always a good time.
Late June, yeah, and that's kind of when things are kind of quiet around sports too. So that's a good time to take off. I'm going to do, find some interesting things to write about between now and I think June 20th, and I'll be gone for a couple of weeks.
Well, you know that the Vikings will, or AP, every few days they'll give you something.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I can do that from Mexico or any place.
Yeah,
I can rip Adrian Peterson from any coffee shop in the universe.
That's right. Doesn't have to even be North America. Anywhere at all works just fine. Jim, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously, and we take our next guest seriously. St. Paul Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley. Tom Schreier is still with us.
Woo-hoo.
He's hoping Whaley doesn't show up because he's got some things he wants to tell us about the Twins. But I'm sure Tom will be with us, so maybe you can squeeze him in anyway. We'll be right back with Tom Whaley. St. Paul Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley. Tom, how are you?
I'm a lot better now.
Were you okay with the music?
Oh, man. You're killing me. I love it.
Oh, good. All right, good. Because he finally got one right for you.
Oh, no.
Can't go wrong with Neil Peart for a drummer.
Oh, no, man. I saw him two times. I saw him at XL, and then I had so much fun, I drove down to St. Louis. Two days later and saw him again.
Now, there was a day in the last few weeks when you couldn't join us. You had a meeting. What was it you pulled out for him that you were so proud of?
That was just a different Rush song.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that was killer.
Yeah, because
that's a good one.
So your fill-in, Sean Aronson, wound up getting the Rush song.
I know. That's what he told me about. And I don't think he knows who Rush is, which disturbs me. But
he thought it was somebody with the last name Limbaugh.
Exactly.
Now, we talked about the Twins. You know, they had a great month, 20 wins, 20-7. You guys just started a few weeks ago, but you didn't have a bad start to the season.
We got off to a good start. It makes life a lot more fun when you're 9-1. Hey, that rhymes.
No, you are having a great time with a nine. You know what? I think it's the pig. It's got to be that. That's got to have something to do with it.
No, it's good. I will say this. I mean, I'm just a big believer in you. Everybody at the end of all of our days, we end up kind of back at level ground, so it's never too high, never too low, but things have been good lately. So either I had it really bad before, or I'm about to have it really bad because it's really good right now.
Well, now, Ole's not with you, right? Your hitting coach?
I don't think he's here. I saw him. He was here for, like, workouts and stuff, but for some reason, I know in past years, he'll come up for, like, the opener or camp or something, and then he goes back because he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's still teaching. So he goes back to Florida.
Well, what I was wondering is, do you pick up the phone and say, you know what, we really don't need you this year. We're 9-1, pal.
Yeah, I know.
We got there without you. It can only go downhill when you show up.
It's so true.
How do you sustain? It's like the Twins. How do they sustain? If they play 500 baseball the rest of the way, they finish 11 games above 500.
Right.
I mean, that's a great, when you get a start like you had too, it's the same thing. You have a cushion.
Yes, you do. You do. We're even a little bit better than that because we only play 100, so we're
tenth of the way there.
Yeah, we are.
Now, how has the reaction been to the new stadium? I'm guessing you've gotten rave reviews from fans.
Yeah, it's just, you can't go anywhere without, running into somebody that's been there. I was at a high school baseball banquet last night, and the team had actually played out here. And I mean, I must have had 20 parents come up to me and tell me what a great time it is. And I'm watching Cretans playing Eastridge out here right now.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Now your office overlooks the field, I'm guessing. I would hope it does.
You know, I can't watch the game. I can, if a ball goes into the outfield, I can watch some outfield play. But
okay.
But no, it's good. And so yeah, we got the high school. There's two games out here today. And I think the kids are they're just having a blast with it.
Now also Tom Schreier, who he writes for 105theticket.com and he does a Sunday morning show, Tom Schreier and Friends. But I don't have you met Tom? Has Tom Whaley met Tom Schreier before?
No, I don't think so. Well, we need a meeting of the Toms.
Well, actually, you know what we should do? Tom Whaley, Tom Schreier should do an interview with you, but just know, like, if you set it for, like, at 2:30 or 2:45 on a Monday, he'll show up by 5.
Yeah, 4 o'clock, maybe.
I've been giving him crap all day because he had some bad traffic. Well, we all know what that's like in the Twin Cities. Traffic can be pretty rough, so... I think he's. I'm
it's
trying to
beautiful.
Make
a, I've been there for a high school game. Actually, I went to the Blaine Coon
Don't
Rapids.
Don't change
game.
The subject.
No, this is CHS Field.
I'm making fun of your.
I know, and I'm trying to avoid being make fun of for being late. But yeah, it's actually even for high school, it's a perfect setting. Just because you obviously have a smaller crowd, but it's a beautiful park, and I think I don't know, it's fun. Lower Town is definitely a fun place to be with the park there.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. You do see after games. I'm sure. Like, I mean, this game started at 2:30. You're gonna have. You know, families wandering out into the restaurants and stuff to grab a little dinner and whatnot. And that was kind of, you know, that was kind of the whole idea behind the thing, is that you'd get a lot of that. So
now, I need to ask this before we go any farther. How are the Frankie Valli talks progressing?
We haven't heard back. We called the casino and they said duly noted, and we'll get back to you. So we're going to stay on it.
You might have to get in touch with his people, because I can't imagine Frankie Valli. I mean, he's 80 something years old. I think he'll take any booking at this point. But he's hot though. Jersey Boys is still hot.
That's what I mean, man. I mean, but this stuff's timeless, man. So it's. Yeah, as God is my witness, we're going to make every effort to get Frankie out here.
Well, it would be great, because it's and I'm not sure if I'd ask him to sing the anthem, but you never know. It'd be interesting to hear his voice with the anthem.
Hey, you know, strange people will you know, that you wouldn't think would do anthems will do it. We had one time the guy, this was back. Vec and I went to a Bob Dylan show, and we went back right before the show started, and everybody's like, oh, you can't ask Bob to do anything, you know, you just kind of stand there and blah blah blah. Well, one of these guys we were with blurted out, oh, Bob, you ought to do the anthem, and we all kind of like cringe. We're like, oh God, you know, he's gonna blow up or something. And Bob was like, anthem, huh? Yeah, I could do the anthem.
He did the anthem for you?
No, he never did.
Oh, okay.
He said.
Okay, so I was going to say, I must have missed that one.
No, we'd have that one duly recorded somewhere if that had happened.
Well, why don't you just throw out an invitation to every living artist yet to do it? Send something out, Rush. And, you know what? McCartney's still alive, right?
That would be actually a very funny list to put together. Who would do the most hilarious anthem?
Well, who has done it for you? Which anthem did you find the most interesting?
I know we had him out to the park, but we had William Hung, and I can't remember if he did the anthem that night. I hope not, but I'm just trying to think of like crazy singers we've had. We had Jerry Jeff Walker did it one time. That was fun. Not like bad fun, but yeah. I mean, you know, like that was fun to have him. Kat Perkins, she did it recently. Just trying to think.
Well, she's
of
a local,
that,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was on.
Well,
the
she voice, has a but, good voice, though.
Yeah, no, she does. And I'm trying to think of ones that didn't turn out so well. Usually, they're you know, usually if somebody's got, you know, if you know who they are, they do a pretty good job with the anthem. But
now you've never had any. You've never had a contest to have the worst anthem singer. That'd be.
No. Well, you might get in trouble if you did.
Yeah,
that.
That's what I mean. It'd be a little, people may see that as a little disrespectful.
Yeah.
Have you ever had like I guess like would be a raffle. Not that maybe you could have it donated to a charity where you do win and whoever gets it gets to sing the anthem.
Oh yeah, yeah, we do that a lot actually.
Oh.
We'll have people that bring groups out or whatever, and it's fun. You're surprised. The guy we had that, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, was like Johnny Johnson or something like that. He's a Lower Town artist, but he came out on the opener, guy in a wheelchair, and just absolutely destroyed. It's one of the best ones I've ever heard ever anywhere.
Really?
He should do. I don't know. He had to have done some of the big league teams in town, because this guy, I mean, he just nailed it.
So how did you get, like, how did he call you, or how do you hook up with somebody like that?
Our music guy, Andy Crowley, found him, knows him from somewhere. And that's how we get most of them, you know. It's just, if anybody's out there that sings, or, you know, you got a kid that sings or something, we put everybody out there.
Okay, should they go to a website, call a number? What are they, you don't want to give out your mobile number.
Yeah. As long as they sing the anthem into the phone.
Well, there you have it.
No. You know, they can just call, like, our main number.
Well, that's kind of neat that you're open to having, you know, anybody sing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, like, yeah, now, let me... If you could get the singing version of this, tell me if this would work. I have to.
You can't hear it.
Why?
No, I can't.
Why? I don't understand that. Why you can't hear when
we play a sound? I should
have
just cackled.
Well, then cackle for him.
You can't do it on demand. It's in the computer.
Can you sing the anthem?
No, you don't want to hear me sing the anthem.
That's what you hear amid the anthem.
Could I do like a William Shatner thing, like a talk singing?
I think you need to get Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner should do the anthem.
Actually, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Would you try to book her? Have you seen the photos of her, Tom?
Yes, I just did this morning.
Are you a Twitter follower now? I haven't had a chance to follow her yet.
I'm not a Twitter. I love Twitter to death, but I have not followed Caitlyn Jenner yet. But I may just because. Now, you know, as photos go, not bad.
No, not at all.
You know?
Little airbrush action.
Does Caitlin sing?
I think you should. You know what? Why don't you? Because somebody else is going to do it. You should make that announcement today. You are putting it out there. You want Caitlin. Or throw it out on Twitter. Caitlin, would you come and sing the national anthem for us?
Otherwise, being a cowboy.
Would Caitlin still do a pole vault for us? Or whatever?
Well, that was part of the. I actually was wondering if Caitlin would now try the women's heptathlon.
There you go.
And that's what it's all about, to go to the Olympics for the heptathlon. So if you get her, please let us know, and we'd love to have both of you on as our guests.
That's right.
Tom, always great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week. Tom Whaley, Saints Executive Vice President. Thank you. I will talk to Tom. I also want to thank Tom Schreier, Mr. Punctuality.
Thanks for putting up with me.
No, you're a lot of fun. Well, we're going to have you in. You know what? Next week, we're going to tell you, why don't you get here at noon, and then maybe you show up by
sometime. I'll be here at 1:55 for 2 o'clock.
We're looking forward to that. David and I, the Hellboy Helmsy, we're going to turn it over to Superstar Mike Morris. I think Brian Murphy's sitting in for Ben Holson. Sam, you're the end friends part of your show.
No,
Sam
editor.
Sam Ekstrom, they do the show together. The wake-up call on Sunday mornings, you got to tune into that with Sam and
Tom.
Tom over here. Tom.
I'll be there sometime.
Tom Schreier. Anyway, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.